Yes, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Anzac Day and our racing coverage, but obviously a lot more of more than that of our racing day at Randwick, Gosford, all those meetings which we'll go through around New South Wales today. A special day in the history of Australia. We're going to Seb Costello from National 9 News. He's at Anzac Cove in Turkey. We're going to him in about 10 minutes or so. It's just after midnight there. We're also going to be talking to a couple of other people through the morning that have attended dawn services as well, as we pay our tribute through Sky Sports Radio to Anzac Day. Randwick today, we're on a soft 7. It has improved in the last 24 hours to a soft 7. Penetrometer 5.96. We've got racing at Gosford. Heavy dew there this morning. It's a soft 5 and the rail is true. We're waiting for the information to be updated for Bathurst. Their soldier saddle Anzac Day meeting has become a big tradition. It was a good 4 yesterday, so we'll wait on that. We've got meetings at Flemington on a good 4. Bow Desert's a good 4. And Gawler's in pretty good shape in South Australia. So the ones that have improved are Randwick and Gosford. Ray Thomas is joining us on Anzac Day. And as I've already mentioned in the last half an hour, Ray, it's, well, words don't say enough, do they, really, on how special Anzac Day is in Australian history?
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, it's a special day. It's a solemn day, isn't it, Andrew? And I saw some visions this morning on the news of all those at Martin Place here in Sydney this morning at the dawn service. And isn't it great to see so many young people attending that service and paying their respects for those who fought so bravely for this country and indeed for New Zealand. So, look, a great day. And the ATC generally do it really well at Randwick. They are very respectful of Anzac Day and put on some special tributes for the Anzacs. So looking forward to this afternoon at Randwick, Andrew.
Yeah, for sure. It is free entry. The Australian Turf Club have opened the gates up there this afternoon for you to head out there. There will be the special commemoration services, the recital of the Remembrance Prayer and the Ode, the racing bugle, obviously, with the last post and the rouse. So that will be on this afternoon out at Randwick, the Australian Turf Club. And as I've said, at all of these meetings around New South Wales, there's going to be, I mean, Bathurst with their soldier saddle.
Yeah,
it's become one of the big days, hasn't it, for the club?
Yeah, big day, and it's a great race name, isn't it? The soldier's saddle just seems to resonate on Anzac Day, and they'll get a big crowd out there, as they will at Gosford and all the race meetings around the country. It's sort of traditional once you, for many people, many punters and race fans, once they've finished with their Anzac Day service commemorations, they make their way out to the racetrack, and certainly at Randwick this afternoon. Beautiful day, as you mentioned, Andrew, so it should be a terrific afternoon.
Armidale, Bathurst, Cessnock, Deniliquin, Gosford, Kempsey, Mwillimbah, Ningen and Royal Randwick. There's a lot of meetings out in all parts
and
of New South Wales.
Good crowds everywhere, Andrew.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we'll go to Seb Costello in Turkey in about 5 or so minutes. As I say, he's not going to get much sleep, obviously, with the dawn service and the time difference, so he'll join us. But Gary Portelli's our first trainer online this morning. Morning to you, Gary.
Morning, Andrew. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, good morning, Gary.
You've been weighing up a few things with Rebel Dane. You've decided to spell for the spring?
Yeah, he had a pretty long preparation. This is the first time we've taken him this far before his throat operation. He'd probably last three to four good runs. And because he's had the throat operation, probably less stress on him. We were able to get out to 6 runs. And, you know, a couple of times there, we were a bit unlucky with barrier draws and what have you. And just sort of, if we go to Brisbane, it cuts short our spell. He's a horse that really is hard to get conditioned on when he goes out, even for a spell. So the longer he gets out, the better he'll do. And we can aim up at the spring early again. So
yep.
I think it's the best thing by the horse anyway. But he's had a good little prep. Whilst he didn't win, he won well over 100,000 for the preparation without even winning the race.
So. A lot of people sort of say, Rebel Dane, he just doesn't win. And I've heard Ron say it a few times on punters that he's a horse that's just that fraction off the very best. But if he gets the right run, he's there, isn't he, Gary?
Yeah. If he could get back to a Group 2, you know, his last preparation, he had a Group 1 run in a Group 2 and he won it.
Yep.
But unfortunately, his rating got up to 110 and you can't drop them horses back to handicaps.
No.
He's not a very big horse either. And if he's carrying more weight than you know, obviously, them young horses coming through, it's hard for him to beat them. So he has to race this level. But in saying that, he's won $1.7 million in prize
money.
You'd
love
to own him. And he owes the owners nothing. Yeah. And they're having a great time turning up in every Group 1 sprint in Australia. But, you know, when you go into a racehorse, you don't get that opportunity very often. Mm-hmm. So at this stage, we're obviously keeping him happy, keeping him sound, and he'll land one of these races. One day he'll draw the right gate and things will go right, and all of a sudden he'll lob. But this preparation, when he was ready to win, he drew the outside at Caulfield, he got back too far and sort of got home into about fourth, I think, in the futurity. And that was probably his day, but unfortunately we drew the wrong gate, and so the dynamics weren't there for him to get to race a little closer. He had to get back behind horses he probably didn't need to be behind, and that was a race, I think, during the preparation that got away. And he was a little unlucky, probably in the All Age last week. He sat behind Malaguera. We thought it was going to lead, and Blake Shin just handed up the lead to a couple of outsiders, and next minute we're running last, you know. So he had to run through the inside part of the track, worst pace to be, and I thought his run was great and had things, you know, panned out the way we wanted. Who knows? We might have been, you know, in the top three at least anyway, you know. So he's just a great horse to deal with, and we're having a great time anyway. Yeah, so all the knockers can watch us tick over the prize money.
Yeah. As I said, you'd love to own him. He was competitive almost in every Group 1, wasn't he, that he ran in this season, spring and autumn, Gary? And, well, your first runner today is Rebel Dane's half-brother, Texas Rebel, and you were telling me yesterday he's not dissimilar in some respects to Rebel Dane. He's a lightly framed horse, but much taller.
Yeah, look, he's a big, lanky horse, and he's a lovely type. He's going to be a nicer horse as he gets a bit older. He's like Rebel, he's taking a bit of time to get to work it all out. But he's a really nice horse. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do today.
The soft track for him, I know he hasn't been tested previously, Gary, but how will he go on a soft track, given Rebel Dane can generally handle these conditions?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. Like I said, he's a really big horse. He's got a massive stride on him, so it'll either work or it won't. Mm-hmm. That's the only question mark for me. I think he's good enough to win the race. But as I said, it's going to be soft. It'll probably be choppy. I'm just not sure about that aspect of it.
Well, you would have been happy to wake up this morning to hear a soft seven, because your next runner in race four, Seeking Asylum, like, she's a terrific wet tracker. All her four wins have come on soft and heavy tracks.
Exactly. She's a swimmer, and she gets her chance today for sure. I've had her, she's had three trials, so she's rock hard fit. Mm-hmm. We plan to have her in for the winter. I think she's a lovely little filly, can pick a few Bob's races up during this time of year. As we said, she's a great little wet tracker, and she can earn a lot of prize money with the Bobs if we place her right. This, whilst it's not a three-year-old race, she's taking on older mares. Looks a race that she should be competitive in.
Has she got the tactical speed to take advantage of the rails barrier, Gary?
Yeah, she'll be right there, mate. Mm-hmm. She can be just behind the speed, and especially fresh. But like I said, she's had the three trials. She's rock hard fit, so she'll certainly have no trouble with the track if it is bit testing.
Yep. And in race five, Cash Strapped, Gary, this horse is racing really well. It was tough at the Beaumont track first up, and then at Hawkesbury last night, you thought he had a couple of excuses. Still, though, a very honest run. He ran second behind Raise the Limit, who's a chance later on in the day, but he's a horse going well.
Yeah, look, he is. He's come back a lot stronger, and his racecraft has picked up. I think first up we thought he could win, and we rode him aggressively out of the gates. So he took up the lead, which he couldn't do last preparation. He had no gate speed. So he jumped and led, and he did the job. And second up the other day, he's probably still a bit fresh. He he led, and he went along at a pretty good tempo. They probably stretched the field out by, I think the winner was probably 15 off us settling, and just run us down late. But as the winner came to us, he looked like he picked up and tried to fight back. So it was a really encouraging run going into sort of grade now. And the only question for him is whether he'll handle the soft ground. I think he's probably better on top of the ground. He's a big striding sort of horse. But I think there's four scratchings already, so that'll help a smaller field, and he'll roll forward over 1,800.
Yep, he'd be tough and hard to beat. Manoeuvring in the last, Gary, it's the fourth emergency. Torpenhow, an important scratching there, Andrew, the hot favourite for the last. Yep. It's already come up. It's the only scratching so far, Gary, so I think Manoeuvring might have to wait for another day.
Yeah, I've got him in at Canterbury on Wednesday as a backup anyway, so I thought his run was good at Hawkesbury the other day. He sort of did a few things wrong. I'm still working him out, but I'm trying blinkers on him next start, so hopefully that just gets him a little more focused on his job.
Yep, terrific. Well, three good chances today. Looking forward to seeing the return of Seeking Asylum. Best of luck this afternoon, Gary.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you, Gary. Gary Portelli going through them at Randwick. Those early scratchings, let's go through them. There are 11 of them as we refresh. The first three races are clear. So race four, take out 11, Distort, number three. That's, did I say number 11? Four, number three, Distort has come out. Race five, number two, Miami Dad, seven, Showpeg, 10, O'Reilly's Angel, and 12, Maven Wiz, 2, 7, 10, and 12. Race 6, number 5, Oman, 12, Thunder Lady, and 14, Disclaimer, 5, 12, and 14. Race 7, number 1, Lyric, and 2, Misa, 1 and 2. And race 8, the Emergency, has come out, 14, Topenhauer. Was going to be right in the market here. It's come out race 8, number 14, Ray.
Yeah, I think probably the soft track. We'll hopefully talk to John O'Shea a little bit later, but gee, was an impressive debut winner at the Beaumont track at Newcastle early this month, Andrew. He's in a really exciting horse. I think he's nom for Wednesday, so possibly the soft 7. A number of those horses, those scratchings already are from the Godolphin camp, might be due to the track conditions.
All right, still to come, the likes of James Cummings, Chris Waller, Tim Clark, Gabe Waterhouse, and hopefully John O'Shea. But it is a special day in our history. Here, many of the dawn services have wrapped up, and many services around New South Wales continuing to take place right through the day and at the race meetings themselves spread far and wide. But let's go to Turkey. Seb Costello is from National 9 News, and he finds himself there, I think, at Anzac Cove. Good morning, our time, Seb.
Yeah, morning, Andrew. And, of course, early morning here now in Turkey. It's just gone past midnight. And yeah, I'm at Anzac Cove, along with around 1,000 other Australians, and, of course, Kiwis and the Turks as well, who are passing down the hours until the dawn service that begins over Anzac Cove.
Seb, I'm not too sure whether this is your first time at Anzac Cove, but if it is, what's the emotion like?
No, you're absolutely right. It's a first time for me and a first time for many who are here. And the first thing you realise coming in here is, so you've learned about the Anzacs since you were a young kid and the story of the sacrifice and those steep hills they had to climb as they came off the beaches. Well, that's one thing. The actual beauty of this place is the other. It's an extraordinary-looking area, what with the beautiful blue waters, the Aegean, and then the big cliffs as they rise above and the ridges that go everywhere just off the peninsula. And you do find yourself trying to reconcile what is, in many ways a tragic past with what is a beautiful place in the present. And then there's, that X factor, if you like, that sense of place that you can't quite put your finger on, that you can't describe, that hits you as soon as you get here, that this was a place where something so significant in our nation's history took place.
Seb, Ray Thomas is with us, and I'll get Ray to jump in after this question. But you're young, you're reasonably young. The people that seem to go there to Anzac Cove are also reasonably young. The people that you see, it's become so important in our history that the young kids have become so important in Anzac Day now.
It's terrific to see, isn't it, that there is that passion and that interest for the younger generation. And groups, kids sort of compete to be here, if you like. I spent a day yesterday with a group of kids who'd won the Premier's Prize out of Queensland. And, all around that state, kids had written essays and made multimedia presentations about the history of Anzac and what the spirit meant to them as young people, because they so wanted to be here that they'd take part in a competition like that. And I think the way that the values are communicated to kids about the mateship, the sacrifice, the Anzac story is something that seems to be resonating and seems to be something they want to honour now 101 years since the boats landed.
Yeah, good morning, Seb, or good evening over there. And I think we saw that, I mentioned Andrew earlier, a lot of young people at the dawn service at Martin Place in Sydney, which was great to see. The mood over in Gallipoli and Anzac Cove, Seb, what's the security like there for tonight's dawn service?
Pretty full on. Mm. Yeah, the tightest security they've ever had here at Anzac Cove, so I'm told. And what that meant was you can't get into Anzac Cove without going through a big checkpoint. So pat-downs, bag checks, x-ray machines, And once you got through that, well, you found your spot on the grass, got out your sledging bag and got stuck into it. But yeah, everywhere you go, there is the gendarme, which is similar to the French gendarme. It's the military police, and they're everywhere. And I'm just standing at the base of one of the ridges here near the Sphinx, as it's called, one of the rock formations above Anzac Cove. And though I can't see it in the dark, I was up there earlier, and if you creep up the cliff and into the brush, you're pretty likely to trip over a Turkish sniper. They're keeping us safe.
Well, I guess that's the world we live in now. It was a far different world when those guys went up Anzac Cove, as it's now known. It's just gone midnight, so it's 23 minutes past midnight your time. The people that are there at Anzac Cove, I guess, do they sleep now, or is it just sheer that you want to be awake for this moment for the next few hours?
Yeah, I think if you can get some sleep, it's certainly advised. They put on a commemorative program which allows those who are a little restless to sort of sit back and reflect, and that's done with various documentaries. There's been musical performances. We had the military bands of both the Australian and New Zealand military speaking. So, yeah, look, there are those who are trying to get a bit of rest over in the months. A storm that came through just before sunset didn't make that easy. You heard the swishing of the ponchos around here. Everyone tried to get a little bit of cover, but it's drier now. And, look, I wouldn't use the word excitement to describe the atmosphere because, we know the story, and this isn't a celebration, it's a commemoration, but there is a strong sense of anticipation.
Yeah, understand. We can't wait to, in some way, see your reports tonight. It's one of those where we talk about it and we honour, and just unbelievable what these guys have done to create where Australia and New Zealand is. We've got many New Zealand horse trainers, Seb, that are now based in Sydney and in Australia, and we don't forget the Kiwis, as clearly the people at Anzac Cove won't do later today as well.
Well said. Yeah, there is an NZ in Anzac, and that's, I guess, part of the message here. And let's extend that a little further, because what is just as moving is that there's the Australians, there's New Zealanders, and there's the Turks, and all together. Despite let's be honest, it being a completely different story when the Anzacs got here in 1915. Today, this is a peaceful day and a day that's about that companionship across between our countries.
Yeah. Seb, just one quick one. I'd love to be there one day. It's a bucket list item for me to go. But when you read the literature and you read about the landing there at Anzac Cove, the thing that it resonates is how inhospitable the land is and how steep that terrain is, and what sort of a task confronted the Anzacs. Can you just give us a bit of a picture as to just what that landscape is like?
Yeah, well, you hear about how the Anzacs took the beaches. And for those who, are picturing the gold sand of Australia, that's certainly not the case. These are, largely made up of rocks. There's a very short coastline. So, once they got out of those boats, it wasn't very long before they hit the cliffs, that's for sure. And then in terms of, having to scale the heights and having to try and take the Turkish trench positions up in the ranges, it's sort of very crumbly, sandy rock that, would have been near on impossible to climb, especially when you, consider pack weights, the various equipment, the rifles that they had with them as they started that battle. But, taking all that away, as I said, some of the views from the ridges down to Anzac Cove up to Suvla Bay, which is just to the north of where they land. It's quite stunning when the sun bounces off the Aegean and sort of sets the atmosphere of this significant place.
Well, you've set the scene incredibly well, Seb. I wanted to get someone on from there, and I really appreciate it. We'll get your reports through the day on Channel 9 and, of course, on National 9 News tonight from Anzac Cove. Try and get a couple of hours of kip, and good luck today.
Thank you very much, guys. Pleasure to talk to you, and good on you for spending some time talking about the Anzacs this morning.
No, thanks very much, Seb.
Thanks, Seb
Costello joining us there from National 9 News, and it is... We talk of bucket lists. Obviously, I don't know, do you feel slightly uncomfortable making it in a bucket list? It's one of those, really. We should honour and celebrate in some way. It's difficult because the guys that fought, 101 years ago at that time when they took up Anzac Cove, must have been absolutely, words again, don't.
Well, it's unimaginable. Yeah, that's exactly. Why I wanted to try and get an idea from Seb about the
well, it looks so beautiful. Yeah. It looks so beautiful now that you just can't imagine what it looked like. And I know Peter Moody, he is right into the history, and he actually... there's a photo on Twitter from last year, I think.
That's right.
He went for a swim in the nude with his good mate, and he took a photo while he was there. It was a special moment for him. Well, anyway, we'll talk more about it, Anzac Day, here on Sky Sports Radio through the morning. James Cummings joins us from out at Randwick. James, not trackside Saturday, but I reckon you would have enjoyed it wherever you were.
Yeah, it was a great day, Andrew. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it was good for the connection to those horses to get more Saturday wins for them and continue a good crest of the wave for the stable. But, we get plenty of good advice and, they know who they are and, we're very grateful for that. But good as a young team to be going so well this time of year and people are really starting to take notice.
Well, Andrew, that's four straight Saturdays that James Cummings' stable's been represented by a winner at a Sydney Saturday meeting during a really big time of the year in Sydney racing. So that's a real credit to James. High Midnight, James, where to next with High Midnight?
Well, we're pretty tempted by the prospect of running him in the 1,600-metre Scone Cup during the Scone Cup Carnival. So, Glenn Schofield is booked right if we go there. There's a couple of other options that we could still consider, but he's pulled up fantastic. You wouldn't know he's been around. He's just loving life at the moment, and I haven't had a runner in that Scone Cup yet, so I'd have to tell Chin Nam that he might be a Cups horse yet.
And My Bien, who was very, very good as well on Saturday.
Yeah, My Bien raced very, very well, James McDonald was extremely confident, even though she was somewhat, not up to par when she raced at Wyong start before in the midweek meeting, finishing, nonetheless behind Yatana, who ran second in the race, subsequently won a group level. James was really confident with me that the horse would jump out of the ground at its next start with the fitness. Taking that on board and also concentrating on trying to target the latter part of this mare's preparation rather than the early part of her preparation. She's really coming to a peak now. And, I tell you what, I don't think that with the strength of the Sydney form, I don't think it's that beyond her to travel interstate and to pick up some black type for the mare. And we might be putting her on the float with a few of our others going down to Adelaide for their carnival.
Fair enough. Well, she probably deserves it. And Andrew, do you notice the breeding of Princess Vane in the first?
No, I haven't.
Beautifully bred. Casino Prince out of Victory Vane.
Oh, yeah.
So she's bred to be pretty smart. And James, you've made the decision to run her at Randwick today, not Gosford.
Yeah, look, we've decided to run at Randwick. And Henry Field bought this filly from a dispersal sale. So, like you, Ray, he has noticed the strength of her pedigree.
Mm.
Princess Vane has raced well her past couple of starts. And look, although we felt that she's probably looking for a mile, and she'd be hard to beat at the provincials, she probably would have been double the chance at Gosford. We do also acknowledge that this is an opportunity here at Randwick, a good holiday prize money, $50,000 race, and with a filly that's in a bit of form, the track was upgraded from heavy to soft, which backed it into it, and we feel that she can run well, but she's going to have to jump up and meet horses like In Mum's Memory and Dear Napoli, who are both going well. She's going to have to improve on her last start performance. But there's a potential for that to happen because she is working well, and to be fair, the stables horses are racing so well.
Mm. And what about Fire of Accuracy? It got back a bit and ran on okay at Warwick Farm first up. Gets out to 1,400 metres today on this softish track, James.
Yeah, he's in a small field. Not too many two-year-olds have the conditioning to get up over 1,400 yet. So that presents an opportunity for him. The horse was held in really high regard from Glenn after his trial. Glenn didn't ride him first up. He was committed to the full brother to Boban. As it's turned out, he's now back on it. He's on him now for his second start. Mm-hmm. I've applied the winkers. I think the horse is going just as well as he was before the first up run, but I like our two-year-olds when they come back to the mounting yard after their debut and they've got their eyes popping out of their heads. They knew that, you know, I'm pretty confident that they'll improve a lot because they just didn't quite know enough on debut. And he's that sort of horse fire of accuracy. So hopefully from the inside draw, he can get every advantage. And he races, you know, somewhat better than his 20-to or 30-to-1 tag. I think he can run a cheeky race today, particularly.
Well, nothing like race experience is there, James, and with two-year-olds. Down to race six, Reignings had that first start run at Doomben, also drawn the one gate, but significantly he really excels in these soft-track conditions.
Yeah, loves a sting out of the track. He's second up, but, you know, he's also had a little barrier trial in between, and he was first up over a mile a few weeks ago. We thought he raced, you know, Damien Brown was confident he raced very well with our luck. You know, so the horse... we'll run a good race, I think, today. He's an interesting runner, quite a strong book of nominations for the race, you know, for what it is. But nevertheless, you know, Reignings on the way up this preparation. He's not yet hit his peak, but I think he's fit enough for the 2,000 second up. Mm-hmm. And you know, hopefully, you know, Franco Ferrari and Michael Bellino, they'll be out there and they'll be able to cheer him on. He's also drawn well, and you know. We respect the horse Lady LaFay. She's coming out of the Group One where she made some ground against a good horse like As Cadelia. But Reignings proven at the distance. He loves that final 250-300 meters of a middle distance race, and he'll be strong late, there's no doubt.
And now for the great James. Gee, he's had a good prep. That one failure was when he had cardiac arrhythmia at Gosford. And how often do we see horses come off that ailment, so to speak, and win next start, which he did at the Beaumont track, and that continued this really good prep he's had?
Yeah, he's had a great preparation for us, you know, and not a very heavy horse. He had a little injury concern with his tendon quite a while ago, and we've been able to get him back, and through a sustained preparation that began all the way back in January, he's been able to race right through. He loves the beach. He's been following a gradually adjusted training preparation and training regime, but he's responded really well. And I think it's important that we, you know, keep trying to hone our skills at preparing both the young horses as well as the older horses that are coming back from injury scares to continue our diversity and our ability to get, you know, horses like him to the track. So we're really proud that he's had a couple of wins. He's earned his spot at the midweeks. And it's nice that he's ended up in form on Anzac Day, that he can compete for the holiday prize money for his owner.
He's had a great prep. And just finally, James, down at Flemington, a race your grandfather won many times, the VRC St. Ledger. You've got an up-and-coming three-year-old, Joe, I hope I pronounced that correctly, who beat the older horses over 2,600 metres at Gosford last start. So he's rock-hard fit and can stay.
Yeah, we feel he's, you know, stay strongly today. He's going to be true throughout the trip. The horse is virtually only had his last two starts over staying distances beyond a mile, and he's placed the first attempt and won his next attempt quite nicely. You know, quite a soft, easy victory against the older horses, and so those last two starts against the older horses are going to stand him in good stead for, you know, insofar as his his conditioning for the St. Ledger today. But, you know, he's going to have to rise to the next level to be competitive against the VRC Derby place getter and etymology. Cool Chap has been racing also quite well at black type level and quite consistently. But, you know, Jouer will be, as I said, strong throughout the distance. Damien Oliver can make a little bit of use of him early if he'd like to and be that bit closer. But, you know, it's a race we've got a lot of respect for, and Jouer will have to jump out of the ground and really improve. But he's produced a lot of consistent performances throughout his career so far, and in his first attempt at 2,800, you know, he's just the sort of horse that, you know, there could be something good underlying there, a good horse hidden. So hopefully we can extricate that today, and in the St. Ledger, one of his final runs as a three-year-old, he can produce a big run.
Yeah, terrific. Look, James, congratulations on the stables run over the last few weeks. It's been fantastic. Thanks for joining us this morning, and the very best of luck this afternoon at Randwick and at Flemington.
Hi, thanks, Ray. Thanks for having me on.
Good on you, James. James Cummings there. Let's go through interim scratchings. There's been a few extras in the last 10 minutes or so. We're on a soft seven at Randwick. Free entry for all there today. Penetrometer 5.96. Race one, number six, Mesticism has come out. Race one, number six. Race two, just come out. Number one, Aquatic. Race two, number one. The third is clear. Race four, number three, Distraught. Number three. Race five, two, Miami Dade. Seven, Showpeg. 10, O'Reilly's Angel. And 12, Maven Whiz. 2, 7, 10, and 12 out of the fifth. Race six, number two, Moriarty. 5, A-Man. 12, Thunder Lady. 14, Disclaimer. And 16, Award Season. 2, 5, 12, 14, and 16 out of the seventh. Race eight, number one, Lyric, and two, Misa. 1 and 2. And race eight, take out 7, Zucan. 9, Francesco, and 14, Turpenhow. 7, 9, and 14 out of race 8. So a few extras, we come up with 17 interim scratchings. In a moment, further interviews, Anzac Day on Sky Sports Radio.
All roads lead to Inglis at Newmarket in Sydney on Friday, May 6. Choose from over 150 quality yearlings and young racehorses on offer at the Autumn Thoroughbred and Classic Book 2 yearling sales. Visit inglis.com.au.
Master builders train the best builders. The best builders look after their clients and deliver quality buildings. Get trained by Master Builders trainers who are experienced and licensed. They can assess participants who may not need to attend a classroom by recognising existing skills. With Master Builders, you know your qualification is fully accredited and held in high esteem. Enrol today to become a Master Builder. Call 8586 3588 or Google MBA NSW.
We're here at the local pie shop where we're trying to catch Graham. Now, Graham, is this part of your training for the Super Rugby season?
Well, there's nowhere more Australian than this. It's the perfect place to get my game plan right.
Smart man, because TAB is offering $1.95 lines on all Australian derby games in this year's Super Rugby Championship. So, when it's Aussie versus Aussie in the Super Rugby, look no further than TAB.
Well, they smell good.
Three pies? Graham, really?
I'm in training.
TAB, more than just winning.
T's and C's apply. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life? If this sounds like you, give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a chat about a government-legislated agreement that combines your debts into just one regular weekly repayment. Interest-free, tailored to your budget. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1-300-107-155 or go to the webpage. CapitalDebtSolutions.com.au.
Punters Postmortem, tomorrow morning at 9.
21 minutes to 8 here. Ray Thomas is with us. We'll chat with Julia Snook, who's been out at the Dawn Services at Martin Place in the next half an hour or so. And, of course, Ray, we're just testing the line to Mike Fraser. You there, Mike? Mike? No, nothing. Ray?
We might have to get Paul Joyce off the reserve bench.
Paul Joyce. That's exactly
he'll
right.
Be on today.
After 8 o'clock, once we clear all the interviews, it'll be Ray and Paul Joyce going through their tips for this Randwick program. The good thing is that we're going to have a fine and sunny day, Ray, and that track has improved into the soft seven range.
Yeah, a couple of important scratchings, though, as you made mention of earlier, Andrew, and just those additional ones, Aquatic out of race two and Moriarty also out of the main race. So, but look, overall, I think the fields have held up reasonably well, given we are on a soft seven.
Yeah, soft seven is where it is, and the rail's out 12 metres, a mile to the winning post, and 6 metres the remainder. John O'Shea, he'll be heading to Hong Kong. Oh, jeez, I forgot to mention it.
Yeah.
What about Hong Kong last night?
Werther and Hugh Bowman. Wow.
It was 7 of the 10 races won by Australian jockeys. 7 of the 10, including the big one. And Hugh Bowman's going to join us at 20 past 10 this morning from Hong Kong. And John O'Shea's on the way there this week. Morning to you, John.
Morning, Andrew.
How is Bow Creek? We've seen some photos of him going out on the all-weather track. How's he settled down?
Yeah, he's been good, mate. His temperature went up a little bit when he lobbed there, but he was right after a day, and we settled in really well.
Yeah, that's good, that's good.
Did he lose any weight on the trip over, John?
He put on 5 kilos, right?
Wow, yeah, it's a great
so
sign.
Well.
Yeah.
He might each attack with speed on the plane.
As long as he's thriving, that's the main thing. Yeah. John, a few scratchings today, I dare say, because of the soft seven.
Yeah, mate. Well, we saw the other day the soft seven. Now the Ramic was anything but a soft seven. Mm. So they give it out the same mark again. And I reckon, you know, now no time to dry. So we'll just stay at home. They're okay. Nice horses. And we found over the carnival when we run them on that ground there, the took a fair bit out of them, you know. So a lot of these horses have probably got to go through to the winter, a little bit deep into the winter if they can. So don't want to be pulling it out of them this early, you know.
Yeah, well, if I could ask you about Torpenhow, John, who really caught my eye in his debut at Newcastle. He was stunning on that occasion and ran great time as well. You've got him nominated for Wednesday. Is it just a matter of wait and see how tracks come up and things like that for him?
Oh, I'd say he'll go to Wyong on Thursday.
Right.
Rail out six at Canterbury would be no good for him. Mm. You know, he's a big horse. Mm. And, you know, so we'll probably just leave him and go to Wyong Thursday, 13.50 there. He can sort of just take his time and different tempo of 13.50, you know. Albeit Wyong's not an ideal circumference for him, but, you know, tempo of 13.50, give him a chance to just find his feet a bit.
Fair enough. Yeah, gee, it was impressive on debut. So, Johnny, you left just with the two in race two, the 2-2-year-olds. Peacock, who was really caught the eye second up at his second start at Warwick Farm, flew home behind Taj Mahal, who's a nice horse. And hope I pronounced it correctly, John, Polemic as well, who's making its debut.
Yeah, mate. Peacock's a really nice horse. Mm. He's probably got a good future in the spring. He's just going to have this run and go out. Obviously, he's got to get through the ground, and he's a horse that's probably a bit better ridden, you know, with the sit, evidenced by his much improved performance the other day. And when we led on him early as a 2-year-old, he wasn't overly effective. But, yeah, I'm sure the most Alonos we've had recently have got through the ground, so he should run quite well.
And a command's mare too, Jim.
That's right. Mm. So, you know, no, he's going well. And then Polemic, I think he's a really nice staying horse going forward, you know. So, yeah, you know, we just got to give him a burn round and then come back in the spring and get over a bit of ground.
Fair enough. And two important runners at Flemington today, John. Pix Chamber, who broke through last start. She was strong late. She runs in the listed race over 1,400. And Etymology goes back to Flemington, where we know he runs well in the VRC St. Ledger.
Yeah, well, Pix Chamber's done really well. You know, just got a soft draw there. The fence is okay at Flemington, but, you know, it's trained on really well. And albeit he doesn't win all that often, Etymology, you know, he's a genuine mile and a half, and it's a significant drop back in grade for him.
Yeah, terrific. And just finally, John, we saw him pending on Saturday.
Oh, geez, leave me one question.
Oh, fire away, Andrew. You can dive in if you want.
No, you've taken it now. Go on.
I need to know as well. Impending, John, what's your plans going forward? He was really impressive on debut.
I'd probably like to give him one more run, Ray, and might run him in Queensland somewhere, whether he runs at the coast or Doomben, and then he can have a break. You know, I think Golden Rose might come a bit quick for him, but look, he's a really nice horse. He's been a nice horse from day one. You know, he just probably needs to get a bit of seasoning and get toughened up, but if we can get that into him, and you know, he should have a nice future.
Yeah, a little natural talent there. Well, John, thanks for joining us this morning. Best of luck this afternoon at Randwick and at Flemington.
Bye-bye.
Good on you, John. John O'Shea there at Trackwork. He wanted to tell a Trackwork rider what to do there. You could just sense through the interview he wanted to yell out something. but we appreciate these guys coming on at this time of the morning. By the way, I mentioned his name just minutes ago on air. That the line to Mike Fraser's house is dead.
He just texts
me. He just texts me. I'm here, pen in hand.
There you go.
So good on you, Mike. Good to have you aboard. pardon me for this Anzac Day morning. Gabe Waterhouse will join us in the next few minutes, as is Tim Clark, and Chris Wathers back in town too after a week off. Just before we go to our next guest, what about impending to you, Ray? Yeah. Just watching it up there close on Saturday.
Outstanding. And just that turn of foot when he peeled out around the leaders and let down at about the 250, that's the reserve of a really good horse. And look, I know John made mention afterwards that the horses, I'd never actually heard the expression before, Andrew, has prominent sesamoids, which it basically means that he could be susceptible to a suspensory ligament injury if they're not careful with him. That's why they've taken so much time and how he's debuted sort of relatively late in the season. But he's a natural talent, and look, John's even talking possibly race like the Golden Rose that might come around a bit too quick for him. That's how highly they rate him.
All right, looking forward to seeing that horse again. We're endeavouring to get on to trainers and jockeys, but not just at the moment. So I'm going to take a break at 14 to 8, Sky Sports Radio.
You want Mazdas?
We've got Mazdas. Acres of them.
In fact, Penrith Mazda is the largest single-site Mazda dealer in New South Wales.
And we're the state's number one BT50 dealer.
Not only do we have more, but the BT50 range gives you more.
More grunt, more torque, more comfort. Across the 4x4 and 4x2 BT50 range, get more options, more technology and more safety.
From the team at Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. The Inglis Australian Broodmare and Weanling Sale presents a bumper catalogue featuring reductions of Goorey Park Stud, Think Big Stud and Bellevue Park Stud's mare dispersal. May 1 to 4 at Newmarket, Sydney. For information and catalogues, visit inglis.com.au.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life. If this sounds like you, give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about a government-legislated agreement that combines your debts into just one regular weekly repayment. Interest-free, tailored to your budget. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Yeah, yeah, you up front.
You've had every success in your career. Why join this competition now?
Simple, mate. You need to cash in on the rewards while you're at the top.
So, the chance to share in 20 million was too tempting?
By oath it was.
Here at TAB, we put 20 million TAB rewards points up for grabs. For your chance to win, join TAB Rewards today or opt in if you're already a member. But hurry, competition closes May 29.
T's and C's apply. Visit tabrewards.com.au for full details. New South Wales permit number LTPS 1500091. Gamble responsibly.
Winter is just around the corner, and a portable gas heater is just the thing to keep you toasty inside while it cools down outside. Bingley has just the heater for you, the Renai Avenger Plus. The Renai Avenger Plus is available in two colours, white or platinum silver, to match your home's decor. With the Renai Avenger Plus, the dual program timers, where you can set them weekday settings for just before you get home from work, and the Sunday timer that will leave it a little bit later so you can sleep in. Plus, for a limited time, purchase a selected Renai gas heater and get up to $100 worth of Bingley card value to spend on the spot right across the entire store. To see the full range of Renai heaters, head into one of many Bingley stores right throughout Sydney. Terms and conditions apply, and the offer ends April 30.
Punters Postmortem. Tomorrow morning at 9.
When Ray Thomas is on, he puts his list together of interviews and he said, hang on, first name, top of the list. Can't go any further. I'm right, aren't I?
Well, I did want to ask her about prompt response, Andrew, so there was a reason.
Hang on a sec. Let's talk to her. Let's have a chat to Gay Waterhouse. Morning to you, Gay.
Good morning, Andrew. I thought, Ray, you'd say you couldn't live without me.
I hope Rob's not listening,
he's
Gay.
He's scared, Gay.
That's what I thought I'd hear. How are you all?
Yeah, I'm terrific, good. Gay. Well, I did want to know about prompt response, if that's all right, Gay. She had a very easy win there last Thursday at Newcastle on the Beaumont track. And do you plan to keep going with her?
Certainly do. She'll head to Queensland Re and she'll go for the Champagne Stakes up there. She'll head up next week. I wanted her to give her a very easy win. The maiden had eluded her. And I didn't want her to go to Queensland without winning her maiden. And it was a nice stepping stone, wasn't it?
Yeah, and just confidence-wise, Gay, she'd take a lot out of that, won't she?
I'm sure so. Yeah, I'm sure so. She looks great. Mm.
Gay, you've got three runners today, all interesting runners. Red Knot comes off a solid comeback run at Wyong. And the soft track today, Gay, any idea how he'll go through the soft track?
Well, I saw about six trainers watching two horses this morning, and I said to them in the hut, you can't all train these two horses. Mm. And of course, they were watching the horses on the course proper there to see how they were going around. And that, I'm very happy with this Red Knot. I thought he would win this race today. So it was terrific. He had a terrific chance. Mm-hmm.
Race 6, Gay, interesting one. I do you remember? I don't think you've had it for that long, but showed some staying promise last spring. How long has he been with you now?
He's been with me since Peter retired from racing, Peter Moody. So I'd say it's probably 3 weeks now, Ray, or 2.5 weeks. She's not a particularly big filly. She's quite whippet-like in shape. She's very one-paced. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have much of a turn of foot. Nice enough mare. You know, this is probably her level, this race.
Okay. Is she potentially a Brisbane Cup horse if she can take that next step, Gay, or...?
She has to take the next step, and that'll be a big one, I can tell you. So let's hope she can win this today, Ray, and then she might be on the way.
Fair enough, yeah. And probably your best chance today, Gay, is a really nice three-year-old, Supply and Demand. This is just a tough horse. He showed that in all three runs last prep. He probably should be unbeaten, Gay, and his two trials, particularly his second trial, he really attacked the line when he won a trial there on April 6th, and that was actually in soft conditions as well.
He'll win this race today. There's no horse in the stable, no three-year-old going better than Supply and Demand, Ray. He looks terrific. He's training very well. I just thought the 1,000 metres at Randwick would suit him right down to the ground. So, you know, he'll be there right in the fighting out the finish.
Yeah, well, the way he had that trial, Gay, you obviously got him wound up because he put a 5-length margin on his rivals in the last 200 metres, and he's a nice horse. Look, Gay, thanks for joining us.
Hang on. I've got to ask you.
Andrew's got some questions,
Gay.
Here we go. I've got a couple.
Just on the Brisbane Widder, you're aiming up there with, I saw Excess Knowledge. You would have been pretty pleased on Friday with its trial, Gay?
Yes, I was pleased with this trial, Andrew. I've just got to get him to the level of fitness I want him. I want him in the Doomben Cup. And I've just got my thinking cap on how I go about to get him to where, you know, to that
And the other one was English. How is she progressing?
Well, she'll go to Queensland next week with prompt response. And she looks a picture, absolute picture.
Yeah, okay. So BTC Cup there at Group 1 level again.
Yes, well, she certainly watched the replay yesterday in the TJ room with some owners. Yeah. And gosh, she was impressive in the TJ, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was for sure. Good on you, Gay. Good luck today.
Thanks, Andrew. Thank you.
Gay Waterhouse there running through them. Prompt response. Gee, it was good, wasn't it?
Oh, just bolting. I guess it had to in that race. It was very short. But sometimes when they have that win, Andrew, it just boosts their confidence as well. She's only lightly raced and they can kick on with it. She's a stakes place getter already. And, look, she'll be winning a good race in Brisbane over the winter for sure.
Very shortly, we're going to go to Channel 9 news reporter to just run through what's unfolded this morning with the dawn services at Martin Place. I will say, though, reminding our listeners again, that they've got a huge day out at Randwick today. It's free admission for all. We've obviously got the race meeting beginning at 12:40, but the Anzac Day commemoration service will be held there. The Reverend Colin Watts will play a key role in that, and Brother Dan Stafford as well. So that'll be all going on out at Randwick today with the Anzac Day commemoration service. And as I say, there'll be two up too, and it is legal, I will stress, between 12 and 3.
An issue on Anzac Day.
No, you can. The legalities you don't need to worry about. I reckon I can see that our final guest of the morning in the interview is just wandering down and just playing some two-up. He's had a week off. He's up and about. Chris Waller, good morning.
Good morning, boys.
Two-up for you today, somewhere between 12 and 3?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'll be up for a challenge. Yeah, fun and yelling and screaming and... Yeah, obviously remembering all those ladies and men that did a great job for Australia over the past century or two, and made it all possible for us. We just get a pretty easy run nowadays for what those guys had to go through. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously coming from New Zealand, Chris, you know we don't forget the Kiwis, particularly.
Well, we saved you, Andrew, didn't we? Otherwise, you'd be. Could have been doing anything, could have been in Japanese or you name it.
Yeah, exactly. There would have been more coming up Sydney Harbour than what they sent us, but thankfully, the guys did Australia and New Zealand proud when it began 101 years ago. Righto, I will say, Charlie Duckworth, Chris, don't say you weren't listening because I reckon you would have been, but he came up a treat on Saturday.
Well, he took it very seriously, and he was doing his form, and he even sent me an email afterwards saying, oh, how did I go? Things like that.
He did a good job, Chris.
No, he's a proud young man, doing a great job.
Yep, he did a good job, sure. Yeah. Well, Chris, you've had a great season, and today, I'm not sure if you're aware, your stable rests on 199 wins so far for the season, and he could bring up the 200 in the first. Via Napoli, I guess, is the pick of the three in Mum's memory, and Flaunting, though, also definite chances.
Yes. Via Napoli, she does look a promising filly. First up run was very good, and no reason why she wouldn't improve off that, and certainly appreciate a bit of extra distance. So looks to have plenty of upside. The other two in Mum's memory, she did a good job last preparation and has some form on the wet tracks. Mm-hmm. And Flaunting, probably not quite as sharp as the other two, but look, she's a fit horse, and I think that might be required today.
Yeah. Just back on Via Napoli, Chris, she was terrific on a debut at Wyong. Sort of ran out a bit on the home turn, at tight track probably against her, so you would think getting up to Randwick and the bigger track is really going to suit her.
Yeah, right from that day she's been aimed towards this race for the distance and, as you say, the bigger circumference, so it should really suit her.
In race two, Chris, you've scratched Aquatic to Rely on Earth, who was a beaten favourite first up at Warwick Farm, but I've got a suspicion that might be a pretty strong form race, that.
Yeah, it would be, but even still, Ray, it's very disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what went wrong. He pulled up well. His work was very good going into the race, and it has been good coming out of it as well. So I'd be keen just to ride him a little bit more conservatively today. Realise it's only a small field and there's not much speed, but I'd love to just take a sit on him third, fourth, if we could.
I guess there's no real indication how he'll handle the soft track. I know it was a soft five when he made his debut at Canterbury, but this will be obviously a lot worse today.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I guess it's early in the day, shouldn't be too bad with the rail out a long way. I guess it's newish ground, certainly on the bend and in the straight. Through the championships, it wasn't racing too bad, but as long as they get around that wet part from the 1,000 to the 400.
That's the key, yeah. Down to race five, Chris. Nice horses. Rodrigo really coming through the grades well, and he did a good job at Warwick Farm last start. He's a horse on the rise.
He did take a while to clear his maidens, but his breeding would suggest that he should be starting to mature now and get better, so hopefully that's the case. And obviously there's been a number of scratchings. The big weight of 61 is always a bit of a query. There's a lot of other horses with similar weights, but you're always concerned about something down the bottom that might be able to sprint better than with the 61 that he's got. So
could that be high wind, Chris? Yeah, could that be high wind? He's a staying type, or bred to stay, gets out over 1,800 metres, 54.5.
Yeah, he's been a bit disappointing in his trials. First up run was okay, and we're just hoping that he does improve over the distance race. So, yeah, well-bred horse and just desperately looking for some form today.
Okay. Strong hand in race six, Chris, but you have scratched Moriarty. Is everything all right with the old horse?
He just doesn't put in on the wet tracks, Ray. So, yeah, that's been the problem with his first up two runs, or in particular last start. So there's no point just sending him around for the sake of it. So, yeah, he'll wait for another day and hopefully we can get him back into form.
Fair enough. The other three all definitely handle the wet tracks. Lady Lefay, terrific run in the Group 1 last start behind Azcadillo in the Queen of the Turf. And Weary hasn't been too far off. And Hawkspur's run the other day was pretty sound as well, Chris.
Yeah, both Hawkspur and Weary, they were pass marks. They're obviously carrying a lot of weight, but a significant drop in grade. But they need to fire up today. In particular, Weary, he's got the conditions to suit, a lovely draw, good jockey. But the form one for me is definitely Lady Lefay, and she loves the wet ground, and 2,000 metres should play into her hands. So I'd be leaning towards her. Obviously, the other two have won better races, but she, to me, looks the form horse.
In the last, Chris, you've scratched Saw Khan, just waiting for a better track to make his Australian debut.
He travelled up from Melbourne. It wasn't 100% happy with his blood picture Friday, so we've just waited and probably appreciate a mile.
Okay.
So I think he'll go around in the trials Friday and wait another week or two, but he's one to follow.
Mm.
And obviously Liberty Island, a little bit suspect in the wet. His form might read that he's okay in it, but I'd like to see a drying track to have a bit more confidence with him later in the day.
Mm-hmm, fair enough. Well, Chris Mead, just the one for the 200. Best of luck this afternoon, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks very much, boys.
Good on you, Chris. Chris Waller going through his runners. Lady Lafay seemed to get a little bit of a special mention along the way there from his runners today.
That looks the one to beat, I think. The track conditions ideal, 2,000 metres she can perform at, and comes off that really good Group 1 run. So look, I think she's almost better the day stuff now, Andrew.
Righto, that's Lady Lafay, which is race 6, number 11. Very shortly, we'll go through all the scratchings for our TAB programs here on this Anzac Day. Right throughout New South Wales, we've got racing at Armidale, Bathurst, Cessnox and on TAB, Deniliquin, Gosford, Kempsey, Mwillimbah, Ningen and Royal Randwick, and they've spread far and wide. We wish the Ningen people all the very best. Six races out there, with the first at 1:40, and as I say, Ray, general free admission for all at Royal Randwick today. So we're hoping many people that have been out and about at the dawn services this morning attend Randwick.
I'm sure they will, Andrew. And there's a race meeting somewhere near you by what you just read out just there.
Yeah, exactly. We spoke to Seb Costello from National 9 News about 45 minutes ago from Anzac Cove in Turkey. A bit closer to home, the dawn services are wrapping up. Other services are going on right through the morning into the afternoon. Julie Snook from National 9 News has been in Martin Place. Julie, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Julie, excitement's not the right word, but it's a day where collectively Australia come together. What was it like at Martin Place this morning?
Yeah, look, one of the terms that was used this morning, which I think sort of sums it up, is somber yet significant. And that's exactly what it was like down at Martin Place this morning. We saw thousands attend a dawn service there at the Cenotaph, and it was really beautiful. It was really moving. It does mark 100 years since the first commemoration of Anzac Day today, actually, and 101 years since Australia and New Zealand soldiers landed at Gallipoli. And they were expecting numbers to be down a little bit in Sydney this morning, but I tell you what, they had thousands there today, and as we've heard in Canberra as well, you know, 55,000 there. So people are really turning out in droves, and it's so wonderful to see. We saw families there with young babies through to the elderly. So the Anzac spirit is certainly alive and well.
Yeah, Julie, good morning. Thanks for joining us. We mentioned earlier that the vision we saw from Martin Place, what struck me was there were so many young people there, which is encouraging for Anzac Day and the whole spirit of Anzac Day.
Oh, absolutely. We spoke to one little girl, Amber Hall, her name was, and she's 7 years of age. And I caught her just having a photo with the Premier, and she was so happy. And I had a chat to her. And just to hear from someone that young, the enthusiasm, and she was saying how important it was to be there. And you know, she was there with her mother, who was wearing her father's medals and whatnot. And then we spoke to another gentleman who's one of his sons has actually just got back from Afghanistan in the last couple of years. And he said, you know, he's confident that the Anzac spirit is really, really alive and well. And if anything, he believes that the numbers are just strengthening and the support that we're seeing at these sort of services today are just getting bigger and bigger, which is fantastic.
We've obviously had drama play out as well that we mentioned earlier in our news service, Julie, with drama of a 16-year-old boy that has been brought in to police activities as well. I guess that's the world we live in now, isn't it?
You know, unfortunately it is. You know, a 16-year-old boy from Auburn, he has been charged overnight with preparing for or planning an act of terror. He will appear in court today. He has been refused bail. But as the New South Wales Premier, Mike Baird, said, people should not be deterred despite this arrest overnight. That was echoed by the New South Wales Police Commissioner, Andrew Scipione, as well. You know, this is such a proud day of our history, and they've really urged people to in no way be deterred by this, to really go out, attend the services, attend the marches today and continue honouring this tradition. And yes, police presence and security will be stepped up, but both the Premier and the Police Commissioner have said, you know, please get out there and show your support today. This is such a huge part of our history, and don't be deterred by just one individual's act.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's a day where we're commemorating, and as we are a racing station, a big day out at Randwick this afternoon with many ceremonies being held around Sydney and right around New South Wales that are listening to us on relay. Julie, we'll see your pieces right through the day on National 9 News. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you very much for that, Andrew and Ray. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie.
Julie Snook there from National 9 News. All right.